In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Who exactly was the Apostle Bartholomew? In the end, this is an impossible question to answer with much certainty. St. Bartholomew's name appears only a handful of times in the New Testament, each time occurring in a list of the 12 apostles. Here's what one of those lists, that of St. Matthew, tells us. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Christ. It's about all we have from the scriptures on St. Bartholomew. But in the early church's tradition, we do learn a little bit more about St. Bartholomew. According to Eusebius and St. Jerome, St. Bartholomew was sent on a missionary journey to India, and he carried the newly written gospel according to St. Matthew with him and dispersed that and preached from it there in India. According to another tradition, that is namely the tradition of the Armenian Apostolic Church, St. Bartholomew later went along with his fellow apostle St. Thaddeus and evangelized the nation of Armenia. Reportedly, Bartholomew had such success that he even converted the king, which then angered the king's brother so much so that he had St. Bartholomew flayed alive. This is why St. Bartholomew is traditionally depicted in Christian art, holding in his hand a flaying knife, as you can see on the front cover of today's bulletin. Now, modern scholars typically agree that St. Bartholomew ought to be associated with the man who is named Nathanael in St. John's Gospel. Such assumption is the basis behind the middle stanza of the closing hymn that we will sing later today, a stanza which recalls that story from John chapter 1, where our Lord calls the skeptical Nathanael to follow him after having seen him under the fig tree. Well, this biblical account from John chapter 1 certainly has no doubts about it. Still, the association of Nathanael with Bartholomew is a more recent tradition and is less than certain. So, this sort of leaves us back where we started. Who exactly was the Apostle Bartholomew? As we have said, it's sort of an impossible question to answer with any certainty, which perhaps is precisely the point on this feast of St. Bartholomew the Apostle. In the end, we really know very little about this apostle. But one thing we do know for certain, that he and his fellow apostles were called by Christ to be an apostolic witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to have confidence that regardless of who the man is, God provides for his church through the office of the public ministry. Today's gospel text, fittingly, is not so much concerned with St. Bartholomew specifically. It's more concerned with the office that Christ has appointed in his church. The text teaches us to distinguish between the nature of the office and the man who is called into the office. The 12 apostles, among whom St. Bartholomew is named, they were the original pastors of Christ's church. And yet, the apostles possessed a unique role within the history of the church, one that is not maintained in present day. The 12 apostles were tasked with preserving the teachings of Christ for future generations of Christians. It's human nature to forget the past and the truths that our forefathers once knew. Thus, King Solomon was compelled to write in Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, do not forget my law." For this is our tendency because of the weakness of our flesh, that we would forget the truths of God and therefore fall into licentious and wicked living. Therefore, the apostles wrote down the words and deeds of our Lord Jesus Christ so that the truth of his word would be preserved reliably for future generations such as ours, and so that the Holy Spirit might continue to work through these words to convict our hearts of sin and to bring us to repentance and faith. The unique task of the apostles was this preservation of Christ's words. But the apostles also were just like future generations of pastors in that they were also tasked with preaching God's word. Thus, we have the earlier mentioned tradition of St. Bartholomew carrying St. Matthew's gospel to India, where he taught and preached the very same truth that we read in our own Bibles today. But back to today's gospel text, it gives us a glimpse into these men, these disciples who filled this apostolic office. The fact of the matter is, they were sinful men just like you and me. We're told that a dispute arose among them. Their sinful pride drove them to strive for power and influence over each other, to argue and debate until Christ rebuked them. Now, to be sure, there certainly can be a place for friendly competition amongst Christians, but even leaders of the church can take things too far at times. And yet the profound truth in today's gospel text is that these sinners are the ones who are granted to eat and drink at Christ's table in his kingdom and to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Dear friends in Christ, if the apostles continued to be sinners who fell short of the glory of God, then you can be sure that the same is true of your pastor and of the leaders of your church. I am a far greater sinner than the men that Christ originally called into the apostolic office. And yet, the authority of Christ's church does not rest upon mortal men. The truth of the gospel does not hinge upon the character of the man who is tasked with proclaiming it. And so thanks be to God that your salvation is not dependent upon the man who holds the title and position of your pastor. To be sure, Christ uses ordinary sinners who have been placed into this office of the public ministry in the church, the office that we call the pastoral office today. And he uses us to proclaim his truth. But still, your salvation comes from God alone. So who then is Paul? Who then is Apollos? Who is Bartholomew? Who is Pastor Akers? We are ministers, servants of Christ, through whom you believe. One may plant, another may water, but it is God who gives the growth. Therefore, on this feast of St. Bartholomew the Apostle, it is fitting that we do not focus on the man in the office. Because in the end, it doesn't really matter who St. Bartholomew was. All that matters is that he was a man in the office. He was an apostle. One sent by Christ to preach the gospel. In the same way, it doesn't matter who your pastor is. He is a man who has been called into the office of the public ministry in the church. It can be tempted to get attached to the man who is our pastor, and to some extent that is a good thing. For God uses specific individuals with their talents, abilities, quirks and even shortcomings. And through them, he accomplishes his purposes of working and sustaining faith in his people. And so it is right to be thankful for the pastors who have served you. But we must hold loosely our attachment to the man in the office. The man is necessary to be sure, but it could be any qualified man so long as the office is filled. Norman Nagel, who was a longtime professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, once wrote these potent, striking words. He said, "Pastors are anonymous, interchangeable instrumentalities. It's good that we cover them up with vestments and not pay attention to them, but only to what they have been given to preach and teach and do. Therefore, the message of this day can perhaps be summarized no more succinctly than in the petition of the collect that we prayed earlier in the service for this feast of St. Bartholomew the Apostle. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that thy church may both love what he believed and preach what he taught. Thanks be to God that he provides for his church through the office of the public ministry by sending pastors to preach the same faith that St. Bartholomew once taught, so that we may join him in the new creation, eating and drinking at Christ's table in his eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.